This is a very important time for us in terms of Eglise Lutheran ID, because it is a growing church. This is its current logo. The people who really worked with it have come from the Florida Bahamas Synod, and it has taken us some time to get there. Now, I want to tell you that I am so pleased to have this honor of presenting this, because I have such deep respect, such admiration, and such love for the Haitian people. And I also have such love and respect for the people from the Four Bahamas Synod, who moved out of their realm of security, their comfort zone, and decided that they could do something in Haiti, not for Haiti, but with Haiti. Now, there are three different periods of time that we will talk about. There was FLH, I'm looking for Livingston, and that was the Federation Lutheran d'Haïti. That was the beginning. The next step, they evolved into a second group, FELDA, and then the third group, which is the existing group now, Eglise Lutheran d'Haïti. This is not one church. This is a church body, much as our synods are. Now, we started in 1988 when one of our pastors went to Haiti to assist the Haitians to replace pigs. Now, the pig has been the bank for Haitians when they needed some kind of assistance in an emergency. They could always go to the pig and sell a piglet. But they had been slaughtered by order of the United States Department of Agriculture because there was a sign of swine fever in the Dominican Republic. The pastor who went was as Pastor Luther Kistler, and he has continued over these years to work with the Haiti Task Force. As you will note, the Haitian pig is different from our pigs. The Haitian pig can forage on its own and make its own way so that effort and energy do not have to go into its well-being. You will see when and if you go to Haiti that there are a number of pigs just running around. Now, in the beginning, this FLH was created by both pastors and lay people. The pastor here on the left is Ludo Livonis, which is Livingston's father. And and Louis was involved with that as well. They met together and asked Pastor Kistler if it would be possible to start a Lutheran church in Haiti. The synod did not go to Haiti and say, we're bringing you the Lutheran church. We were invited in. This is the initial mission statement about commitment to companion with the Lutheran Church of Haiti to walk together, and this is important, in faith and action, to learn from one another, to empower the Lutheran Church in Haiti to become self-supporting so that it can minister physically and spiritually to the nation, and that has been our goal. We do not tell the Haitians what to do. They work with us. I'm sorry for the cold.
What I can tell about the Lutheran Church in Haiti, if you go to Haiti, you would see that we have the Episcopal Church. It's a big organized church, the Catholic Church. All the mainline churches in Haiti are organized churches, but they were implanted by missionaries from the United States. like people, you know, from the United States, England, like for the Methodist Church, they came to Haiti to establish the church, you know, the congregation that they wanted to. That is why sometimes they build a church and they leave. But what is different from the Lutheran Church of Haiti, it was not people from the United States who came to establish the church. The church was established itself by the pastors of Haiti. The two pictures that you saw earlier, my dad and the other pastor, they put themselves together to say that, because there's a long story to make it short. My dad met some people. My dad met some people from Germany. And these people, they were talking about the Reformed Church. And my dad was, you know, talking to the people, what is the Reformed Church? And they were talking about Martin Luther and everything. And my dad said that, you know, whenever I have a church in Haiti, I will call it a Lutheran church. And in fact, he went to seminary, he developed a church, he called it Redemption Lutheran Church. But at the same time, we had a problem. We call ourselves the Lutheran Church of Haiti, but we didn't have any clue about the Lutheran theology. That is why when the missionaries from the Fruit of Abraham Synod came, and they said that, is there any Lutheran church in Haiti? And the response from both Guido Villiers and Thomas at that time was that we do not know if there's a Lutheran church in Haiti, but we know some pastors who call themselves Lutherans. And from there, Pastor Kistler met with these pastors. My dad was one of them. And they established this relationship and this companionship together to say that, how can we help to develop a real Lutheran church in Haiti? And with that, we have pastors, like every year, they came twice a year, three times a year, four times a year to have seminars with the deacons of the church, with the pastors of the church, to teach them what is, in fact, the Lutheran Church. And from there, we have Pastor Kistler. From Pastor Kistler, we have Pastor Bob Baer. He was one of the one after Pastor Kistler, one who tried to put this group of pastors together. And from there, things went very slow. Very slow with Pastor Kistler, Pastor Bob, and from there we have two ladies that came. It was Denise Black at that time. Now her name is Denise Benjamin, and Pat Hansen. She just left. And these two women, when they came, they were so passionate about, you know, to help the church of the Lutheran Church of Haiti to be a Lutheran church. They put all their effort together. And we have Denise Benjamin, when she went to church with Guido Villiers, it was a matter of how to help, you know, the Lutheran Church of Haiti and to help the people of Haiti based upon sustainability and self-sufficiency. That is why there's a long story about the coffee program in church with the Equal Exchange in the United States. It was through, you know, the Lutheran World Federation and Denise Benjamin plus Pat Hansen. These are like pictures of, you know, the people from the Fruit of Abraham Synod, you know, who came from time to time to assist the church. We have the Lutheran World Federation in Haiti for many years. That is why people keep asking, how come we have the Lutheran, you know, the Lutheran World Federation in Haiti, and at the same time we did not have a Lutheran church in Haiti? Because the Lutheran Church, the Lutheran World Federation is like the service part of the church, the social part of the church, where they come to countries to help, you know, to organize, you know, people in the social part of it. But the spiritual part of the church is not, you know, the really the focus of the Lutheran World Federation. But at the same time, because we did not have really a Lutheran church in Haiti, they came together. We, at that time, we had Michael Kuhn. He was the head of the Lutheran Church in Haiti. He tried his very best to put the Lutheran Church together.
This was the first place that we stayed. It was a Catholic retreat house. And in working with Michael Kuhn and others, we were able to arrange trips outside of Port-au-Prince so that we could learn more about Haiti before we started working with them.
But Villa Mar has completely collapsed.
Yeah, that's gone now. with the earthquake.
Completely collapsed to India.
Now, on that trip, several people went to Fontenay to help them build their church, and this is what how they started. Now, building in Haiti, like everything else, is absolutely labor intensive. And I have just been absolutely amazed, and any of you who are in the session this morning about Lamentations saw how labor intensive it can be. But this is how they're making their own concrete here. And here, pounding out nails so they can be used again, and straightening them out and sorting out lumber. This is the front of the church as it's being built at Fontenay. And it was a cooperative relationship between the Haitians and the Americans. The Haitians actually directed what was going on, in keeping with our idea that we should not be telling them what to do. We had our first theological training program. It was held at Villa Madeleine's. And you will see there on the right-hand side, down in the corner, someone who should be very familiar to you now. That was Livingston. Then we did a proposal so that we could begin teacher training. And because we had no real experience with teacher training at that time in Haiti, we determined that we would work with Combat Poif, which is based in Canada. And so that first year we went to Jeremy with them. There was a lot of discussion between pastors who thought the church should be FLH and those who thought it should evolve into a new form. And this is one of the points at which we had to authenticate our work with the church. We were asked to take sides. And we simply said, and Lutheran World Federation and Michael Kuhn at the same time said, no, this is a decision you have to make. And we will work with you however you make it.
Do you want to talk about that at all?
Yes. The problem at that time is that some of us want to have like an organized church. It's an administration, like whatever we do, we need to be accountable with that. And others, they just say that, oh, we do whatever we want to. Because what happened, at the beginning, they tried to have what they call sister congregation, where a congregation in the United States, you know, chooses a congregation in Haiti and say that I'm going to help this particular congregation. That had created so much tension in the church, because one pastor can have like a good structured church, a nice building, and another one has one covered with coconut leaves. And this church has this particular relationship. They would never give money to another church. They say that I have my church already. And we had this fight among pastors, because they say that, what about my church? My church is covered with coconut leaves. And at the same time, you're helping someone who has like a good, you know, a good building, you know. And because of that, they were divided in many groups, because some of them say that we do not have to be accountable of what we do, you know, whenever you just give the money and that's it. And the other group say that no, because, you know, if the people with a good heart in the United States, you know, they raise money to help the church, we need to be accountable with it, not only to show them proof of what we do, in any ways we want to be accountable with that. That is why it was so difficult, you know, to deal with the pastors, because some of them say that this is what we want. And finally, because of accountability problems, some of them they just left without, you know, us, you know, the other group to fight with them. That's why my dad was on the side where they say that we need to be accountable with whatever we do, because we want to have like a Lutheran church of Haiti, not you know, a federation of churches. Because when you have a federation of churches, each pastor, you know, I call that the my church mentality. Each pastor just try to fight, this is my church, I want this for my church. But at the same time, I see that if we try to eradicate, you know, to eradicate the my church mentality, to see that this is our church, the Lutheran Church of Haiti, which is one body, it would work better. Because whatever decision that we want to make, the church as a whole will make the decision. Not one person will make the decision. And that is why finally, one group has agreed, you know, we have to go for the structured church.
Now, if you look on these slides, you will see on the right-hand side of each one, again, someone that you will recognize in his younger days. We had a number of pastors coming from Florida primarily, who took on the responsibility of teaching and training in the theological seminars. We did teacher training in Germany, as I said, and at that time we didn't have enough funding just out of the Senate, so we had to go to the Canadians and U.S. Embassy. And this is how we got Livingston to seminary. Denise, whom you see in that picture, also went to seminary, and she's now serving somewhere in
Michigan.
And still maintains a very strong interest in Haiti, and so we have kept her on our task force as kind of an emeritus. But she made a great difference in the program there in Haiti by herself. Then we kept asking for a missionary to help us. Some of us were traveling back and forth, back and forth, back and forth to give support. But finally, Shelley Satran became our mission, half-time missionary there. And the way that happened is that we were at a Global Mission Committee meeting, and I was looking through the Global Mission personnel, and I saw this name, Shelley Satran, in Haiti. And I guess I just nearly jumped down to my chair. Kind of, who is this? Who is this? So we chased her down. She had gone to Haiti with her husband, who was working with another group there. And so she, as a Lutheran, as trained as a Lutheran, took on the responsibilities that she had graduated from seminary for assisting us with the training programs.
So when you say half-time, that means she was half-time paid at work,
yeah.
You know, 20%.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. Now, Haitians prize education in a way that we have forgotten how to. And this is up in Choate, and they built their own school building. These annual assemblies continued, gradually bringing the various churches together. So when people ask me now, what was it you really accomplished? I think what we accomplished was building a foundation upon which other activities could take place. We took a census of the churches. Shelley, who speaks Creole, traveled to all of the churches, and this was Patrick Joseph from Luther World Federation, who also helped us with some translation and was an excellent chauffeur. And that's what you've got to have in Haiti, because getting from one place to another is extraordinarily difficult. The other person there is Mariana Francois. She acted as translator and intermediary in a variety of ways, and has been a part of the church since its beginning. There are a variety of ways of teaching in these seminars, and small groups were one of them. Women did take advantage of the theological seminars. The life of women in Haiti is changing, but it's still very much a patriarchal country.
and sometimes it's very difficult. This person that you see here is Lisa Ferrier from Lake Kai or Camp Tryon, and she has had a great deal of responsibility in the church there.
And while you are talking about Haiti is a patriarchal society, but what I want people to understand, if you go throughout the Caribbean, you might think in surface that the Caribbean is a patriarchal society, but in fact, it is not. Because like whatever project that you can do in Haiti, if you do not involve women in that project, there's no way you could survive. Because women are at the very heart of development in Haiti. Even though in the surface, you might think that it is a patriarchal society. Because there would be no development, no church without women in Haiti.
Again, here you will see the bishop of the Florida Bahamas Synod and another familiar face. Well, Livingston was in seminary, and he came back through a really circuitous route for this meeting. Do you want to tell him how you had to get back?
First, I have to go from Jamaica way back to St. Martin, from St. Martin to St. Thomas, to many islands, finally to go to Haiti, like to three or four different islands. Because at that time, Haiti didn't have any relationship with Jamaica. There is no direct flight. It is like 45 minutes from Haiti to Jamaica. But at the same time, it took me 3 days to come to Haiti for that event.
But that was one way of keeping Livingston very much involved with what was happening in the church while he was away at seminary. Now, 2005, as I recall, were some of the hardest months I've lived through. There was a lot of violence in the nation, so we put the seminars on hold. Shelley Satran had been ordained at the assembly for the Florida Bahamas Synod, but she had to stay in the United States for health reasons. I had to return money to WELCA. We had a women's grant, but we were not able to do the program. And then one of the people within the Haitian community, Louis Marcel Pierre, said that he was the bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Haiti. And we had to work through all of that. He had been ordained probably somewhere in the 40s or 50s, and he could not remember who ordained him.
Because anything goes in Haiti. I can self-proclaim to be something in Haiti, and I can go with that. That's why when Louis Marcel Pierre, he said that he has many churches in Haiti, he's a bishop of the church, but in fact, he maybe has some churches, but in his backpack. He can show you many pictures, but in reality, he didn't have any church. But when he went to many of our meetings, he said that I am the bishop of the Lutheran Church in Haiti, and he was talking about that, but he was not the bishop of the church. That's why like, many people just come to say that I am this, I am that. Sometimes when the missionaries came to have, like in our general assembly, many people, they came to claim to be pastors, and they come with pictures of churches. In fact, they didn't have any church. That is why when we had Sally Satran, when I met her, and I said, great, now we can find a way to find really if some of the pastors, if they have churches. And some of them, when they know that we're going to visit their congregation, when we see babies crying. You know why? They invite adults to come. They couldn't come. They sent their babies to come. And we saw like a church of babies. Is to show you that they didn't have any church. That is why it was a good time for Shelley and I to find out really who is who and who, possess really a church.
Now, at that time, we had five pastors and who were coming to the seminar, sending their teachers for teacher training, who were working in a variety of ways as an executive committee for FELDA. Now, in 2006, Denise and her husband, Paul Benjamin, who were in seminary at Gettysburg, returned to Haiti to do some long-range planning. And it has been
wonderful to see how many people have given up a lot of their life in the United States to return to Haiti to work with them. Do you want to talk about St. Joseph?
St. Joseph, both Wellness and Bill, they were raised in St. Joseph. St. Joseph is a house, you know, where there's this Catholic priest came to Haiti and he saw so many, you know, kids, you know, they are on the street to try to find a way to survive, you know, to you know, go and ask and beg for money. And he said that he needs to do something about it. That is why I do not know how he find people. And he has how many places? Three? One in Jack.
Yeah, yes. There are three sides now.
Yeah, where they just pick up
little
kids.
Just a quick note, if you want to know more about St. Joseph's, they are telling their story at 6:15 tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're going to learn more about it.
Yeah.
And we use St. Joseph because, you know, we didn't have a guest house, you know, for the missionaries who are coming from time to time. And St. Joseph, was a place, like when they come, they can stay there so that they can, go back and forth to work with the church.
And this was a delightful place to be. We had such a good time. You'll recognize Renee there, and she's also here. It was a place where you could really laugh and enjoy yourself among family. And this is my pastor from Faith Lutheran Church in Ormond Beach. Pastor Cox has been to Haiti maybe four times now with seminars and other kinds of training. Now, getting the Constitution made and completed was really tough. And that finally happened. Churches have to be registered in Haiti. We were able that year to make some contacts, good contacts with the Canadian Evangelical Lutheran Church, which has been very, very helpful. Now, on the other side, the political side, we've been working with the Fort Bahamas Synod Task Force, has been working regularly with members of Congress and others, so that as there are any bills, anything that's going through Congress, we try and stay on top of it. And that was, we worked very hard on this whole pact, and it was finally passed. Now, Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Venice, Florida became a true blessing for us. Because it made it possible to move ahead faster than we thought we were going to be able to move. The pastor was David Johnson, who is now deceased, and we'll have the next slide, and then Livingston can talk about that experience.
I remember I came through LOMF, Lutheran Outdoor Ministries of Florida, to be a camp counselor. And while I was there, I heard that Emmanuel Lutheran Church just sent money to build a church in Haiti. And I said that I need to speak to that church because if they can do something like this, and I know that how we, like our churches in Haiti, like 99% of them are covered with coconut leaves. For someone to come to build a church, you know, the building for us, it's a blessing. And I said that I need to talk with these people. But at that time, Pastor Johnson, he had leukemia.
Yeah.
Yes, he had leukemia. And he said to the parishioners, there's no way, nobody never tried to come to see me at the hospital. And they know that this Pastor Johnson has a strong, you know, mindset. He said that no, and it's a no. And when I came to the church and I said that I cannot come to see the church without talking with the pastor of the church. And I said, I cannot just leave Jamaica to come here to meet you. And at the same time, he said that there's no way that people can see you. And I said, who is brave? Someone said, I am. And I said, can you go to the hospital with me? She said, no problem, let's go. And I went there. He was so shocked. He said, how come? And we sat down. And when I sat down with Pastor Johnson, it was like love at first sight. And we talk and talk and laugh. And from there, I see in him a mentor, you know, a father. He saw in me a son. And I was talking to him, and I said that, you know, Pastor Jensen, when I'm done with Jamaica, I don't have a church to do an internship. Because we do not have a structured church in Haiti. You know, and he said to me, no problem, I'm going to talk with that. And Pastor Johnson, Pat Hansen, they talked together to find a way for me to go back to the United States to do a mini internship for only 2 months. But, you know, the time there was like even like 200 years. Because the way, you know, the relationship with the people and everything. And Pastor Johnson called me son, and I called him dad. It was like this love at first sight. But the people, they thought that, you know, coming from seminary, I would be this person who knows everything. You know, it's going to be a clash between Pastor Johnson and I. But at the same time, I remember the first time I went there, and I said, you know, Pastor Johnson, I come here to learn. Everything that you think that would be needed for me to know, just teach me. He was so happy to hear that from me, and from there, we just, like, father and son. And it's going to stop here. It's too
okay. Fundraising has always been a problem because people did not know about Haiti, and it wasn't until the earthquake that suddenly there became some kind of focus on Haiti. When I first started going to Haiti 10 years ago, my neighbors were asking me, oh, you're going to Tahiti again. How lucky you are. I had to keep explaining to them, no, that was not the case. But Livingston was a big help because when he got to the United States, he did a lot of preaching and generated much interest. Our bishop also met Reverend
Zashi
Duassin. Yeah, Duassin. And it was through him that we were able to get a vicarage for Livingston in Haiti and to arrange for the ordination. There was a lot of work done in cooperation with other groups. I found very early on that you cannot accomplish much alone or even with one small group. So we did a lot of networking. And this is one of the people who helped us with teacher training. Denise also began working very hard on women's programs. And Joyce Keither there on the right and Audrey Lobaum on the left were among those who brought a great deal of information to the women, specifically on health programs. We were able, through networking in the Boston area, to find books in Creole on how to manage health problems when there is no doctor. And so every woman who attended that seminar got good instruction on that book.
Because for 60 to 70,000 people in Haiti, we have one medical doctor. And in some places, they have to carry them on a chair, like 10, 20 miles. To finally find a health center where they can give them a first aid.
So the women formed a group and called themselves Femme de Velde. Pastor Duclair, his wife became the first president, or became a president of the organization. And during one of these women's sessions, that's when they learned about micro-lending, or Fonkose, and things have to sometimes percolate a while before you begin to see evidence of real progress. And it was after the earthquake that Fonkose became a part of the effort with women to do the micro-lending and get them in small businesses. This is Michael Kuhn, who was representative of Lutheran World Federation. He, as the slide says, did a lot of problem solving for us. I always felt absolutely confident that I could go to Michael and he would tell me the truth, that he wouldn't flavor it with anything, he wouldn't coat it with anything, I would get it right straight down the line.
And then one of the pastors, with whom we had worked for quite some time, and had helped him build a church, found that his congregation just wasn't comfortable with Lutheranism. They were used to a very much more fundamental practice.
That's what I was talking about earlier. Some of the pastors, they do not come willingly because they like the Lutheran doctrine. But we have people from the United States that we need to get something from them. That is why some of them, they just come for you to build a church for them. You know, and later on I will talk about, you know, the constitution that Pat Hinton, she was talking about. Because the difficulties that we had, you know, to put together a constitution for the church is that I want to put a law, but I do not want to be under that law. It was the biggest problem because some of the pastors, they do not want to write something, to put something in the constitution, and they do not want to respect it. You know, it was a big problem.
So we lost another pastor when Pastor Sergio Capri also expressed misgivings. And so from the five firm pastors we had had at one point, we now had three. But they were solid.
The reason for that, in Haiti, according to the constitution of the country, you cannot be Lutheran and Baptist at the same time, to have two faiths. You cannot. And some of them, they are from a Pentecostal background, from, you know, a Baptist background. And at the same time, they see that I want to be Lutheran as well. And I remember the first day when I came back with Pat Hinton from the United States, you know, to live, you know, to have a church. And I met the pastor and I said that, you know, I am not going to jail for any one of you. Because, you know, like, as being, you know, the president of the church, like, they're going to judge me to say that you know the law. Because in Haiti, they say that nobody ever will ignore what the law says. Even though you are ignorant about the law, they're going to take that same law to judge you. That is why I said that to some of them. I know some of you are from, a Methodist, you know, Baptist and Pentecostal background. We don't have a problem with that. So you have to leave one to stop, you know, to stop with another one, to stick with another one. That is why I say that if you want to be a part of the Lutheran Church, now you have to write a letter to the Ministry of Religion to say that I am not a Baptist anymore, now my church is a Lutheran Church. They didn't want to do that, that is why we get rid of some of them.
Now, as you can see on the slide, there was a great effort at Emmanuel to take Livingston there and to develop a contract with him over a long period of time. It was not just a short 2-month period. They have in many ways adopted Livingston and are supporting his work in Haiti. The chairperson is Kathy Weinmiller, and she has been a really moving force in getting things done in terms of the relationships between the Haitian church and Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Again, Pastor Cox and Pastor Stephen Weinmiller got to Haiti, and these are the sacraments and creeds at that time were the subject. There are a lot of issues. Ordination was the biggest one because this church had developed in a way in which no other church had grown. And so it was a question of who's going to ordain these pastors. How is that going to work with the Department of Cults in Haiti? And how do we make certain that it's done correctly, and all of these other issues that we won't go into in terms of ordination. Then we had to cut short a trip in April because there's a lot of violence, manifestations which are really gatherings of people to protest, and so we just had to kind of wait for some of the work that we needed to do. Fam de Felda then asked, will you please send wedding dresses to us? So when I got back to the United States, that was the next thing that we did, the tangible service. And then we have had to discuss the wisdom of making shipments to Haiti. And maybe Louis and Clemens want to talk a little bit about stuff being sent to Haiti.
I mean, custom issue has always been an issue in Haiti. Even if you are registered as a church or a non-governmental organization, you are not receiving duty-free as a given. You always have to apply. It's depending on your contact and who you know, that will really help you. And that's one of the reasons sometimes we say, okay, we probably import goods that we cannot find in the country. Even if it's a little bit expensive, it's worth it buying those stuff in the country because that's called to the whole the hassle of working through custom and so on. So that's one of the things that we work with.
And that is why we applied to receive tax exempt status from the government. But because they know that you're not going to pay tax, that might take, you know, years. If you have a good contact from the government, it might take, you know, less, you know, than the time you would take. But at the same time, we have faith that maybe 1 year from now, we might get the tax exempt status.
Right, it's a huge hassle.
Now, one of the other problems was that many of the churches here in the United States wanted to send things to Haiti. But did not, there was no connection, so they wanted to send shoes, for example. And so Haiti has more shoes than any place I've ever seen in my life, where if money had been sent instead of the shoes, they would have saved on what it took to get them there. And if that money had been given to Haitians, people would have had shoes that fit their feet. So it's that kind of problem. You just don't send stuff off to people and say, I just know you're going to need this. All right, Livingston graduated. Next slide. Then we had a wedding with one of the dresses that we had taken to Haiti. And this was the church in which it was held. And they really dressed it up. I did not have a picture of how they dressed it up, but they really used a great deal of ingenuity to make that church look more like a wedding site. In 2008, Haiti had 4 bad hurricanes, and our synod set up a disaster fund for them. Dr. Cox again went to teach with other pastors, and at that point, our Synod WELCA sent support money to Felda, and so that the FAM to Felda, so they could begin some of their work. With our connection in Canada, we were able to get hymnals in French. The 2 languages in Haiti are Creole and French, Livingston was able to go to Canada for a training program with those. And then Livingston arranged for very intensive seminars with the pastors through November and December. And it was in December that Pastor Stenio Capri had decided that he could not continue on. He had waited and waited and waited. And what finally did it is when they were talking about the congregation crossing themselves. And he said, my congregations will revolt. And then Skype was used between the Haitian pastors and pastors in the United States to continue and polish off their training. Then ordination occurred. And we were also happy. Now this cathedral, is the Episcopal Cathedral, and it's hard for me to talk about it, and it has nothing to do with the cold. It is a beautiful place. Bishop Durasam was the one who suggested we use the cathedral for ordination, where we could have used, you know, a smaller church or something else. And it shows, you know, how cooperation can be so beneficial. The church is gone. And we were the last group to have any sort of
really good, really strong rite in there, or worship service like that. And it was absolutely incredible. The paintings in that church were very old, and if you will look in art history books, you will find those paintings.
Yeah, they were classified by UNESCO as a patrimony of humanity, you know, and so on. So, for you to know, Samsonian in Washington, D.C. is doing some work to restore and recuperate the core pieces of the church.
And it was at that point, and Livingston, you may want to talk about this.
Yeah, at that time, I sat down with the pastors because it was like FELDA, which is Federation of the Lutheran Churches in Haiti. And I sat down with them and I said that for many years we have talked about to have one unified church body. That is why now those who remain, we're going to put ourselves together to have one church body, which is going to be called Eglise Lutheran Deity, the Lutheran Church of Haiti. And all of those in favor, you know, we put ourselves together. That is why now we have the Lutheran Church, the Eglise Lutheran Deity, which is the Lutheran Church in Haiti, where the decision is not, I do not take the decision for the church. Any decision, it is, we have an executive committee, we sit down together and we take decision for the church. Whatever, that is why we have the General Secretary and myself, I go everywhere, sit down with the people within the church, because we have a problem in Haiti. The pastor of the church is God. He decides whatever. He's the one to tell what to do, you know. And most of the time with missionaries in third world countries, even in Haiti, sometimes, you know, the church in the United States can raise money to build a church in Haiti. What happened? The pastor would buy the land on his name, build the church, and now the church belongs to whom? To the pastor. Now, when the pastor dies, this church might be a supermarket, because if their family, you know, his family decide, you know, not to have a church anymore, they can do whatever they want with the building. That is why being the Lutheran Church of Haiti, now everything that we do is on the church's name, not on the Pastor Livingston's name. Whatever we buy, whatever we do, it is under Eglise Lutheran Deity. Now there is no fighting anymore. I was going to, I don't know if you can
talk about it.
Well, I love this slide because in order to get to some of the church sites, Livingston has to walk a long way or ride a long way. Okay, let's go on to our we have teams that go to Haiti and learn about the church and about accompaniment. And our philosophy has been not that they go to do for the Haitians. Again, it's to work with the Haitians. And in order to do that, you gotta be there and you've gotta be quiet and listen very, very carefully to see what is needed. Okay. The next pastor was ordained in August. Next. And again, Dr. Cox shows up to do training and some polishing. And then Ben and John and Renee showed up in Haiti. And the day I met them at the airport, as they were coming out of baggage, I looked at that trio and I said, hallelujah. They're gonna get it. They're going to understand. They're not gonna need a whole lot of explanation about how to work successfully with the Haitians. And this was a theological training program, as you see Livingston, and then Ben and John.
The story behind that too, I spent like a semester at Wadwork Seminary in Iowa, and Ben, Renee, they were my best friend while I was there. They were not married at that time. And Pat didn't tell me that if Ben, Wayne, and John would go to Haiti. I have a clue about that. I went to St. Joseph Home for Boys to meet with the pastors and Pat Hansen. And I saw someone from the back walking, and I said, out loud, I don't think it's Ben. Because Ben would never come to my country without asking me permission. And for him to be there. And from there, he said, Levenson. And he said that, oh my gosh, we try our best to have a relationship with the church here. When we called the head office in Chicago, they said that they don't have a clue. That is why we come through St. Joseph. So how can we work together? We need to do something together. And he went upstairs to call Wene. He said that, Wene, I met Levenson. And Wene came downstairs and we talked. And while they were leaving, the question is that, how can we help you? And I said, wow, the best way you can help us now, because we have, you know, four pastors. At that time, we have like 10 congregations. And the deacons are the one, you know, to administer communion and do everything in the church. And they need training. So how can you help us with training? And he said, no problem. We would find a time, you know, to help you with training. And he went back to Warburg Seminary. And when it's January, he called me to say that we are on G terms. So what do you think? And I said that, come, so that we can have a seminar with the people. And we know what happened 12th of January.
Now, just personally, I left Haiti 2 days before the earthquake. And I felt really guilty in leaving them. But one of the things I remember is the three of them standing together in front of St. Joseph's. And the last words we said to each other is, I love you. And that has stayed with me. I'm glad that was one of the last things I said to Ben, because I truly did. They were just marvelous. Now, this was one of the churches, and that was the rubble. Next. This was all that was left in the Episcopal Cathedral with its world famous paintings. And then, hallelujah, Louis Dorvilliers returned to Haiti. And we were so pleased with that, because that meant, in spite of all the destruction, he could use the foundation that we had tried to build with the churches as a focal point for some of the resurrection. We had, in that same year, Haitians continue on. I admire them so much for their persistence and their ability to rise above tragedy. And we had 8 couples married in the church at one time. And then 3 children were baptized. This was the office and house where a lot of the work is going on now with the disaster recovery. It's also used as a guest. What was that? Yeah. Two more minutes. Okay, Stephanie Elma, we supported her through her medical training. She's now an MD. Mary Dellison now has taken some leadership with the Haiti Task Force, and they'll be seeing more of her in Haiti next. And thousands of people in the United States have prayed to build this foundation and to help these good pastors. Okay, next. These are the pastors at Pastor DeClaire's ordination. Next. These are some of the people who have worked so hard. Now, we have not talked about the gentleman on the left-hand side bottom. That is Orlan Desimon. He is a deacon, and you have never seen anyone more committed to Christ in the church, at least I have. And the future is very promising for the church. Okay, any questions that anybody may have? And we'll be around. Again, we'll continue to break bread with them, and they are our beloved brothers and sisters. Okay, any questions from anybody?
Do you geographically, where are the churches or?
Okay. Well, you're not going to see all of the
You
habitats.
Have your map, so you can.
Yeah. We have in Lake High, right here.
Okay.
Jack Mel, close to Port-au-Prince. Mm-hmm. We have one church in Port-au-Prince. We have other places where
with
Guadalupe. Yeah,
yeah.
Petit-Guave. We have Petit-Guave.
Miraguan.
Petit-Guave right here. We have Miraguan. Fondenègue, but some of them is not, you know, mentioned on the map. But we have now, we have like close to Port-au-Prince, before Léogâne, Gracier, it's between Léogâne and Port-au-Prince. We have a church now, because now we are building a vocational center where young people can be trained to make a difference in their community. And now we have 14 churches in Haiti. And we have one very far here in Jarabel. We used to take like 13 hours to go to that church. Now, because they are building a road, it is less.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? No, Melissa, I will ask you to dismiss us then with a prayer.
Okay. So let us pray. Gracious and wonderful God, we give you thanks and praise for the many blessings of life. Especially for the presence of Christ in our lives, so that we can make a difference in this world by making our light to shine in this world. As you say to us, go and make a difference. Therefore, this is our duty as being Christ's children to make a difference in our life. And wherever we are, we can be this light to shine in the darkness. Father, send your Holy Spirit, your mighty hand among us here today to bless us and make us anew because you are your child. In your precious name we pray, amen.
And I would like to note that I could not have done this alone. Thank you.
We cannot do this without you today.
Yeah, you can't do it alone in any.
Because the only way you might recognize that Pat Hansen is not Haitian is because of her skin color.